I'm going to ask you to turn with me in your Bibles to Joshua chapter 6. We're going to be in Joshua chapter 6 today. We're going to kind of pick up the story of Joshua and the Israelites as they enter the promised land and face some battles. If you remember the story, Israel was in slavery in Egypt for 400 years. And through a series of rather dramatic miracles, God brought them out and freed them. And for the first time, they are free as a nation. God brought them to the Red Sea, and they were cornered, boxed in. God parted the Red Sea. They walk across on dry ground, and they wander in the desert for the next 40 years. And they finally come to the Promised Land, a place that God had promised would be theirs. God had told them, I have a place for you. It is yours. It's a place where you can call home for the first time. You can build homes. You can build your family. You will become a nation. And it has everything you could ever hope for. That was God's promise to them, and it was an amazing promise. But they faced an obstacle. And the obstacle was a city called Jericho. In order for them to possess the promised land, they had to take over the city of Jericho. Now, Jericho was a problem, not only because of their military power, but also because of these massive walls surrounding and protecting the city. Now, we don't know exactly what the walls of Jericho look like, but somebody put together kind of a sketch based on biblical and historical evidence to give us an idea of what they were up against. The first barrier was a retaining wall about 15 or 20 feet high. On top of that was a wall made of mud bricks 25 to 30 feet high. So they've got a 20-foot-high retaining wall followed by a brick wall. It's about 30 feet high. If you're able to get through that, and just remember, as you're trying to scale that wall, you've got archers posted shooting at you the whole time. So if you're able to climb the retaining wall, then scale the brick wall without getting turned into a human pincushion, the next thing you have is this steep embankment you've got to climb up, and on top of that is another wall 45 to 50 feet high. That's what they were up against, to take this city. Now remember, these are people who have been in the desert for 40 years. These are not seasoned warriors, they're nomads. And they don't necessarily have the most advanced military equipment available to them. So this is what they're up against. So God has given them a promise. This is your place. This is a place you can call home. But they had a major obstacle, and that obstacle was Jericho and its walls. Now, in the same way, God has given us as a church, he's given us a mission, a purpose to fulfill. God has a promised land available for us as a church. But just as the Israelites faced these obstacles in the same way, and we all know this, as a church, we're facing some obstacles. We're up against some barriers that seem impossible to overcome. And so today, we're going to look at this story and see what God is saying to us as a church about these obstacles. As we look at their story and how God brought them through, what is God saying to us in our story about his plan for us moving forward as a church? And maybe for you personally, you're facing some obstacles. You're facing some barriers that are preventing you from fulfilling God's purpose for you, God's calling in your life. And maybe there are some things God has to say to you through this story today as well. So let's just pause again and pray and invite God to speak to each of us today. Father, I want to thank you for your word. I thank you that we can trust your word. I thank you that it is your voice speaking to us. And God, it's not just some general idea. You speak directly to each of us. There's something you have to say to each of our hearts today. So I pray, Lord, that we will be fully open and receptive to you. I pray that today those who are discouraged will find encouragement, that those who are kind of aimless and struggling with finding direction, God, that they would receive the wisdom that comes from your word. And for those who just need that extra nudge to move forward in the direction you've called them, God, that you would do that as well. We invite you to speak to us through the power of your word today. In Jesus' name, amen. So let's jump into it. In Joshua chapter 6, verse 2, God is speaking to Joshua. And this is before anything else has happened. In verse 2, God says, I have given you Jericho. I want you to notice what God doesn't say. He doesn't say, I will give you Jericho. He doesn't say, I might give you Jericho. He doesn't say, I'm kind of thinking about it. I need to get some advice from some other people. I'll get back to you when I come up with a decision. No, he says, it's done. I have given it to you. This city is yours. But it wasn't in hand yet, was it? In other words, it required faith for Joshua to believe that what God says here was actually true. God gave him a promise. He said, this is yours. Victory is yours. That's a promise God gave to him. But Joshua had yet to actually experience that victory and to walk in that victory. The point is that following God requires faith. Following God requires doing what he says, even though what he says sometimes doesn't make any sense to us. It means believing what God says is true, even when what God says, we see no evidence for it whatsoever. In fact, all of the evidence and all of the circumstances of our lives say what God says is nonsense. It's never going to happen. It's impossible. Trusting God, believing God, having faith in Him means I choose to believe what He is saying to me more than I believe the circumstances I am experiencing right now. Remember, Paul said we walk by faith, not by sight. And walking in faith means I trust what God has said to me no matter what. Now that no matter what becomes a little more complicated in the next few verses. Take a look at verse 3. This is God speaking to Joshua. He says, you and your fighting men should march around the town once a day for 6 days. 7 priests will walk ahead of the ark, each carrying a ram's horn. On the 7th day, you're to march around the town 7 times with the priests blowing the horns. When you hear the priests give one long blast on the ram's horns, have all the people shout as loud as they can. Then the walls of the town will collapse and the people can charge straight into the town. God says, here's the plan to take this city. These massive walls, here's what you're going to do. You're going to walk around the city for 6 days. Everybody is to be quiet, no talking, except for the priests. They're going to blow these trumpets. The priests would blow the trumpets. They were also carrying the Ark of the Covenant, a physical representation of God's presence. So for 6 days, you're going to march around the city. On the 7th day, you're going to march around the city 7 times. After the 7th time, they're going to blow the horns. You're going to shout, and those walls, they're just going to collapse. Now, would you agree with me? It takes just a little bit of faith to believe that's actually going to happen, right? All of you are sitting there like, oh yeah, no problem. No, if God told you that, you'd say, no, that's ridiculous. That's never going to happen. Like nobody would ever call together a military council and they would say, okay, we put our heads together. We put the best minds to work on this. Here's what we came up with. Nobody would do that. But that's what God said to them. And I don't want you to miss this. God spoke to them and told them how to handle those walls. God had something to say about the barriers they were facing. And in the same way, the walls and barriers we face as a church and the walls and barriers you face in your personal life, God has something to say about that. And so an important question for us to ask is this: when I think of the barriers in my life, the obstacles, the challenges, those things that prevent me from fulfilling His mission, His purposes, and His calling, what is God saying to you about those things? And are you giving Him space in your life so you can listen to what He's saying? Not what are your friends saying about that? Not what is common sense telling you? Or that book that you read? Or that motivational speaker that got you fired up. No, the question is, what is God saying to you about that? Because many times what God says to us contradicts what others are saying, and sometimes it contradicts what common sense says. Many times what God says to us makes no sense to us. And it requires faith for us to say, okay, what God says, okay, I'm going to do that. Takes faith because sometimes what God tells us to do doesn't only not make sense to others, it doesn't make sense to us. And what God says here was the exact opposite of any sensible military strategy. Like a sensible strategy would be something like this. Wait till nighttime, like the middle of the night, like 3 o'clock in the morning. sneak in, create a diversion over on one side of the city, and then sneak in the other side while they're distracted over here. Have just a few people sneak in, they open up the gates from inside, and then you go in with overwhelming force. That would make sense, right? God says, no, here's what you're going to do. In broad daylight, with everyone watching, you're going to walk around the city blowing horns for 6 days so they know something's about to happen. That's God's plan of attack. And when God told Joshua, here's what you're going to do, Joshua's response to that was, okay. Like, there's no arguing. There's no pushback. There's no, well, what about this, God? This does, no, there's none of that. Joshua just says, okay, that's what we're going to do. Isn't it true that sometimes following Jesus, sometimes doing things God tells us to do, makes us look absolutely foolish? Isn't that true? Sometimes what God tells us to do, when we follow through with it, other people are looking at us and saying, why would you do that? Well, because God told me to. What? God told you to do that? That's ridiculous. One of my favorite stories in the New Testament, we talked about it often, in Acts chapter 3 and 4, Peter and John are on their way up to the temple one day to worship, and they come across a man who is lame. He's 40-something years old. He was born unable to walk, and he's been laying there for years in front of the temple, begging, asking for money. And Peter walks over to him and says, we don't have any money to give you. What we have, we freely give you. In the name of Jesus, rise and walk. And instantly the man is healed. Awesome miracle. And it turns into this huge party. The guy's dancing around. People are gathering around saying, wow, this is amazing. I can't believe this. And Peter begins telling them, Jesus Christ, who you crucified, who is now alive again, he is the one who healed this man. The religious leaders catch wind of this and they become very upset. And they come over and they tell them, they pull Peter and John in and they begin to intimidate them and interrogate them and they threaten them and they say, never again speak of the name of Jesus. And Peter's response to them is, God tells us to do this. You're telling us to do that. We're going to do what God tells us, not what you tell us. And the response of the religious leaders is interesting. Acts chapter 4, verse 13, it says this. When they saw the courage of Peter and John and realized that they were unschooled, ordinary men, they were astonished. Unschooled, ordinary men. That's a very polite translation. Some translations use the word ignorant. In the original language, it uses the Greek word idiotes. That sound familiar? In other words, they're looking at these guys and they're saying, these guys are idiots. They have no clue. They don't know anything. They're not educated like we are. They're not intelligent like we are. How are they able to do the things they're doing? But then it says, and they took note that these men had been with Jesus. That changes everything. You see, intelligence matters, yes. Strategy, that's important, absolutely. But when it comes to overcoming the obstacles in our lives, facing down those barriers, those things that are preventing us from expanding God's kingdom and taking ground for Him, when it comes to overcoming those things, intelligence and strategy aren't enough. We have to be with Jesus. We have to put Him at the absolute center of everything we do, how we live our lives, and how we make decisions. And that means listening to His voice and then doing what He tells us to do. As they're walking around around the walls of Jericho, they're walking around blowing the horns. That's not just some random thing. Blowing the ram's horn was a call to worship. The priests are carrying the Ark of the Covenant, a physical reminder of the presence of God. You see what's happening here, right? They're not just walking around to take a walk. They're walking around in worship. As they are walking around circling this barrier that's in front of them, this insurmountable obstacle, they are doing so with an intentional reminder. God Himself is right here with us. He is leading our steps, and He is claiming this ground for His purposes. And we need to do the same thing when we come up against those kind of obstacles. As a church, when we face those obstacles, and in our personal lives, when we face those obstacles, we need to confront them in an atmosphere of worship and with an awareness of God's presence with us as we confront those barriers and those problems. And when I say with an awareness of His presence, I don't just mean agreeing mentally in our heads, yes, God is here because God is everywhere. I mean more than that. I mean actually acknowledging His presence. I mean, honoring his presence, placing our focus not on those barriers, but our focus on him. It's all about worship. Because see, when we worship God, our focus is not on ourselves. When we worship God, our focus is not on those barriers and those problems and those obstacles. Our focus is on the God who is bigger than all of that. I like the way Louis Giglio said it. He said, worship is a shift of attention that allows us to see God better. So when we come up against those insurmountable obstacles, those things that get in the way of us doing what God has called us to do, we could do one of two things. We could begin a detailed study of those obstacles. We could examine how high the wall is, all the measurements, what are the components that make it up, what are the materials, what's the best strategy for beginning to disassemble that. We could do that. Or we could sound the trumpets in worship. Place the ark of his presence at the center of our lives, at the center of his focus, and begin to proclaim, God, you are bigger than this, and you are victorious. And so they march around the city for 6 days. They come to the seventh day, they march around the city 7 times. And after the seventh time, in verse 16, Joshua says, shout. Now, when he says shout, he doesn't say shout to get the city. He doesn't say shout to get yourself hyped up for the battle that's about to happen. He doesn't say shout in a desperate plea for God to maybe do something. Look at what he says. He says, shout, for the Lord has given you the town. In other words, when they shouted, this was not a plea saying, God, please show up. God, please do something. God, please give us the victory. No, this was a shout of victory. This was a bold expression of faith that God's promise is going to be fulfilled. It's a proclamation that victory is ours because God has promised victory is ours. Now, here's where we struggle, because that's on day 7. We struggle with the first 6 days, don't we? And the truth is, much of our lives are lived in those first 6 days. We spend a lot of our lives in the not yet. In that difficult time in between when God makes a promise and when God fulfills that promise. And that's a hard place to be. But it's a reminder to us that faith is an everyday thing. See, faith is not described in the scriptures as an event. Faith is described in the scriptures as a walk. And so God's people walk around the city the first day. And after they walked around the city the first time, you know what changed? Exactly nothing. Not one pebble had moved. But they got up the next day and walked around the city a second time. And after that second day, you know what changed? Absolutely nothing. Not one stone was moved. But they got up the third day and walked around again. The fourth day, the fifth day, the sixth day. On the seventh day, they walk around the city 4, 5, 6 times. Nothing has changed, but they kept walking. They kept going. And Joshua and his men had to do the same thing every day for 7 days. I'm sure it was boring. I'm sure it looked and felt absolutely ridiculous. But know this, success in anything happens by doing the right thing and doing it consistently, day after day after day after day, because faith is a walk, not an event. It's not just a one-time action that leads to victory. It's consistency over the long haul. How do you climb a mountain? One step at a time. You just keep walking. How do you build a strong and a healthy marriage? One day at a time, you just keep walking. How do you follow God and grow in faith? One day at a time, you just keep walking. And the same thing is true with overcoming these barriers and these obstacles. You take one step after another, and wherever God calls you, you just keep walking. Consistency, day after day, is absolutely essential. But it's also one of our greatest weaknesses. Especially the longer that challenge goes on. The more times we walk around that wall and those walls are still there, it gets harder and harder for us to keep going, doesn't it? And we get to that place where we just are tempted to throw in the towel and just give up. And we say things like, okay, this isn't working. I'm doing what God told me to do, and he's not doing what he said he would do. Nothing has changed. In fact, it's getting worse. So what do you do when you're in that place? What do you do when you're in the middle of not yet? That dark and confusing place between God's promise and the fulfillment of God's promise. What do you do when you're in that place? You just keep walking. You place the ark of his presence at the center of your focus, and you keep moving forward. Think about it. Of all the people that you admire, isn't it true that most, if not all of them, went through some kind of adversity? Poverty, abuse, tragedy, and they didn't give up. Those people that we look at and we say, their story is so inspiring to me. I look at that person and I have so much admiration for them. Most of them, why is that? It's because they faced some massive obstacles in their lives. And they overcame those obstacles because of a steadfast determination to just keep walking. And the same needs to be true of us as well when we face those obstacles and those barriers. Now, having said that, this is not just a story about plugging away until we overcome. It's far more than that. This is a story about trusting God when it doesn't make sense to trust God. It's a story about obeying him and believing his promises when it doesn't look like those promises are ever going to be fulfilled. These people marched around the walls not because they thought, well, if we do this long enough, something's bound to happen. They marched around the walls because they believed that the promises of God were true. Even after day one and nothing happened, they marched around the walls. And even after day five and nothing happened, they marched around the walls. And even after the fourth time on day seven and nothing happened, they marched around the walls. These are defining moments for us. It's in those times when we say, God said to do this and I did it and nothing has changed. It's not getting fixed. It's not getting better. God hasn't come through. In fact, it's getting worse than it was when I started doing what God told me. Those are defining moments for us. Because it's in those moments when we are most tempted to quit, when the most logical thing in the world is to throw in the towel and to turn away and to give up and to say, just forget it. This is too hard. God is not going to come through. It's never going to happen. It's in those moments we're faced with the decision. Am I going to give up and turn away? Or am I going to believe that what God says is true and just keep walking? So God, I pray that you will help us to believe your promises. Help us to keep walking after you, to keep moving forward and following you. And I pray especially for those here right now who are at that place right now. They're in that not yet. They're in that time that is so difficult. You made a promise and it hasn't happened yet. And it's so tempting to just give up and walk away from it. God, I pray that you would give them that extra measure of strength they need right now. And I pray just as the disciples asked you, Jesus, on a few occasions, Lord, increase our faith. Help us to keep walking, to keep trusting, to keep believing, and not to allow ourselves to give in to discouragement. Help us to keep putting one foot in front of the other, even when it looks like nothing will change. Because God, we confess you are faithful, you are mighty, you are victorious, and you keep your promises. And I thank you, Lord, that as we move forward and as we follow you, that day is going to come when we're going to see those walls collapse. Amen. Because you are victorious. In Jesus' name, amen.